Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Dan and Benny in the Ring. I'm Dan Sebastiano, joined, as always, by the BS Express himself, Benny Scala. Benny, how you doing today?
Can't complain. Beautiful day down here in Florida.
Had Florida weather been nice to you? Has the Florida weather been helping your dating life any?
So I figured that the dog show thing didn't work. I figured I'd leave that behind. And I figured I'd just try the normal. Take the girl out for a nice dinner. And I pick her up, new one here, and bring it to the restaurant. And the waiter says, "What will you have?" And she looks at him and says, "Yes." So that was a little bit scary. and not for anything. You know, a doggy bag should not have to fit inside of the back of a U-Haul. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
So the search continues.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we say a lot. We talk the past. We talk the territories. You've mentioned it before, Benny, on the show, how the word legend is thrown around a lot today. But I think our guest today truly classifies and qualifies under that title. Benny, I want you to introduce our guest to the world.
Absolutely a legend. And not only a legend in wrestling, but this man has done a lot of different things. He played football. He played professional football. He competed at the highest level in professional bodybuilding. He also was in the World's Strongest Man competition. Besides having an iconic and legendary career in wrestling. So it is absolutely my pleasure and my privilege to introduce the one and only Polish Power, Ivan Putski. How are you, sir?
Okay, how y'all doing?
Can't complain.
Okay, that's good.
Like I said at the top of the show, it is an honor to talk to you. Anybody that has ever watched or been influenced by wrestling has, I guarantee, they like your work. They know who you are. It's truly an honor to talk to you.
Well, I tell you, I really enjoy wrestling, and I love it, so to speak. It's opened up a lot of doors for me, and I'm grateful for it. And I can't think of a better sport right now that I've participated in than professional wrestling.
Absolutely. I can understand that. I can definitely understand that. Benny, as this was your pitch and put together, you get the first question for the Polish legend himself.
All right. Well, Mr. Putski, first of all, when what you just said about wrestling, you really looked like you absolutely enjoyed every second you were in that ring. And, I mean, that made us fans happy, too, because it was very obvious. But my first question actually is about football. So you played football in high school. You went into the Army, and correct me if my research isn't right. You went in the Army. You actually played football in the Army, and you were on the all-Army football team. And then after that, you went to college at Southwest Texas State. You played football there. And then you played football for the Toronto Argonauts and then the San Antonio Toros. That in itself is a career.
Well, you forgot to mention I made whole conference in Southwest Texas.
And now keep in mind that although you are a very strong and powerful man, you're not a huge guy. I mean, you played football. I think what are you, 5'9"? But yet you were a giant amongst men. What got you into football?
Well, that's a good. It's a contact sport, and that's what I'm all about. I like to go in there and mix it up with people. So football was, I love football.
Okay. And you played fullback, correct?
Yeah. Right. Then it's the same thing as a running back now.
Right. But the fullback is more of a power back where you are going to do a lot of blocking, correct?
That's right.
Okay. What got you into football? Just because you knew that you could knock people around?
Well, yeah, because it's a rough sport, and I love rough sports.
Okay. All righty. Can you hear Ivan there, Dan?
I don't know if it's a connection issue, but you're getting real quiet there, Mr. Putski.
Can you hear me?
That's better. There you go.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you something. I know Benny talked football. Your first stint in wrestling in Texas, you mentioned right. how that was your baby, more than anything.
I got started in Austin, Texas, and San Antonio by a promoter named Joe Blanchard. I don't know.
Tell me that.
He's the father of a guy used to wrestle named Tully Blanchard.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, but
Joe
Blanchard got me started. Heck of a guy, I tell you. I loved old Joe. He was like a father to me.
Well, do you mind? You mind telling the story of how Joe Blanchard ended up recruiting you into wrestling?
Yeah, I was. Coaching at the time, and he came up, and he's, you know, he read about me and playing football, and he heard of me, and he came down, and I had my knee operated on. That was the end of my football career at the time, and you know, I was gonna teach school. I majored in PE and was going to teach physical education in San Antonio. And he came down to my house and I was built, really built. Well, you know how good I was built. And
oh, absolutely.
Then I was really ripped and built good. And I always worked out. And he, you know how he got me into wrestling?
How's that?
He came over my house and said, how much do you make coaching right now a year? And I said, I'll make about, and at the time, that was a good salary. I said, about $9,000 a year. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, $100,000 a year if I can, if you'd wrestle for me. Well, hell, you know. So he got me in his, he was promoting there, and he taught me everything. He showed me what it was all about, and taught me all the hoes, the moves, and that's how I got started with Joe Blanchard. God bless his soul.
Benny, I know you said you had a long list of questions.
Yeah, I'm chomping at the proverbial bit here. So,
yeah, of course, Ivan, I see you chomping at the bit there. Go for it.
I don't know how you chomp, but your first match that I could find that you actually wrestled was July 2nd, 1969. You drew with Reggie Parks in San Antonio. But then, but that was as Joe Bednarski. Now, on August 24th, 1971, was the first time that
hang
I...
Hang on, Benny.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was... yeah, right, Joe. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Benny.
Okay. But August 24th, 1971, was the first time that I found that you wrestled as Ivan Putski. On August 24th, you defeated Gypsy Joe Rosario in Little Rock, Arkansas. So how did you get the name Ivan Putski?
Well, you know, I came to America. I'm from Poland. You know that, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
We were in a Nazi labor camp during the war, and I was born in 41. And the reason I'm still alive, we weren't Jewish. They were... murdering all the Jewish people, but they used the non-Jews for labor, and you know, at the end, they probably got rid of us too. Thank goodness for the Americans, they liberated us. And
there we go.
1950, we came to America to ended up in Smithfield, Texas. Working on a ranch, and you know, I grew up actually, I grew up in Texas. Then we moved to Austin, where my dad was a real good carpenter, and there's a company named Calcasieu Lumber Company, and they heard of him. They hired him, and then I went to high school in Austin, Texas, then college in San Marcos, Southwest Texas State. At the time, it's Texas State now.
Okay.
Played football, made all conference, fullback there, and then I went played pro ball in Canada, and then I got into Joe Blanchard got me into professional wrestling, and the rest is history.
Yes, sir. But did you make up the name Ivan Putski, or did a promoter make that up for you?
Well, we both did. Me and Joe Blanchard, you know, he said, look, Joe, my real name is Joe. And he said, you're from Poland, and let's get you a gimmick, like you're Polish, and you where you can't speak English. So I speak, then, you know, I can speak Polish real good because I came from Poland. So he would get an interpreter in the ring, and on TV, we'd be on TV, and the interpreter would ask me questions in Polish because he was, you know, he could speak, and I would answer him in Polish, and he would interpret it to the crowd in English.
Okay.
And after that, it's all history. I sold out every arena I went to. And first time I was in Madison Square Garden, they turned people away. So I'm, but I'd like to just mention two best promoters I ever worked for was Joe Blanchard of San Antonio and Paul Bosch of Houston.
Okay. You know, and speaking of that, Ivan, Mr. Putski, is on June 29th, 1973, I have that you wrestled.
Hey, just call me Ivan. That's okay. Okay.
Well, I was raised right, Ivan. My parents taught me respect, but thank you for that. So on June 29th, 1973, which actually is 12 days after I graduated high school and 5 days after my 18th birthday, you wrestled Harley Race for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship at the Sam Houston Coliseum. I think it was two out of three, four match. Now, you were only 4 years in wrestling. You really, you really climbed up the ladder very quickly. Do you remember that match?
Yeah, I remember Harley Race, right?
Yes, sir. One of the greatest ever. Yeah, I mean, you gave him a run for his money, too.
That's right. And nice guy, Harley. And, you know, I just, I got disqualified, so, you know. I was fortunate, you know, I stayed in pretty long time, and I met a lot of good people that were in the wrestling business and promoters, and so I feel, but best promoter I ever worked for was Paul Bosch of Houston.
Well, and I have another, Ivan, in 1974, early 1974, you spent some time in the AWA, Vern Gagne. But now, you had to be one of the busiest guys in wrestling because I have, even when you were in the AWA, I think you were still making shots for Texas because I have, on two consecutive days, July 2nd, 1974, you're in Dallas. And then July 3rd, day later, you're in Winnipeg. And it's not like it's a hop, skip, and a jump. That's like many thousands of miles of travel. So,
go ahead.
No, I mean, is that something like back in, because now, I mean, everybody's exclusive. You wrestle for Vince McMahon, you can't wrestle for anybody else. But it looks like, you know, many times, even when you were in the WWF, you still were able to wrestle for the AWA or Texas. So is that something that you could do back in that day?
Well, no, I was in demand. I told, when I was in New York, I told Vince McMahon Sr. Now, see, that's who I worked for. I didn't work for when his son took over. That's when I quit and got out of there.
That's right about you. You're correct.
Yeah, but I was in great demand, you know, and so, you know, the promoters, hey, if they didn't like it, hell, they don't have to book me. I do what I want to do.
From what I've seen, you didn't have any problem getting booked because you routinely wrestled 250 matches a year, and that's on wrestlingdata.com, and those things usually are, you know, they're not complete, so I'm thinking you probably wrestled more than 300 times a year.
Oh, yeah, I did, but, you know, it's got, I was gung-ho then, and every promoter, they would call me up, and I'd go, but finally, eventually, I got so tired of traveling and all that, so I just told Vince Sr., I said, you know, I'd like to just go home, because I was there longer than any professional wrestler at the time in New York territory for, was it WWF, wasn't it?
Worldwide Wrestling Federation. I have your first match was on January 28th. 1975 against one of my favorites, the unpredictable Johnny Rods, at a TV taping in Philadelphia. And I mean, and then the like you said, the rest is history. You were there a long time. How did you, I mean, did I'm sure Vince called you, correct? And said, would you like to work for us?
Oh, yeah, because I was, you know, I was Polish. And I was. I'm Polish and I speak fluently. I could speak fluently Polish and, he said, yeah, he said, come out here, and on your interviews, I'm going to get an interpreter, and you answer me in Polish, and then and the interpreter will interpret it in English. And I tell you, man, I sold out. I was really a hot item there. Every town I went to, they turned people away.
Oh, yeah, that was, you know, back in the day, Madison Square Garden routinely sold out, 19, 20,000 people.
Yeah, every month we ran it, right.
How did that feel to, you know, and back then there was no entrance music, there was no Titantron. It was just you coming out and everybody saw you and they went nuts.
They went nuts. They holler, whistle, cheered. That's what it's all about, getting the people riled up, and I love doing it, you know. Now they got music, all this fancy stuff as you go in. I told them, I said,
all you had was yourself. You just had Ivan Putski, and that was more than enough.
Exactly, and that was plenty, You're right.
You know, speaking of wrestling, I'm curious, obviously, other than some of your involvements and the feuds we talked about, your being the first Polish athlete to do a lot of what you did. You're often associated with that the Polish hammer, that huge move you would do.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, how did that come about? Who came up with that move?
Joe Blanchard, when I first started, he said, I was just thinking, and see what you think. He said, your move and the winning to win.
The finisher. He said,
the move that I want you to do, or it's up to you. No, he always asked me if, and he came up with it. He said, just get, grab your both hands together like a hammer and throw the guy into the ring and just whack him. And we'd call it the Polish hammer. And rest is history.
And you know what? And Ivan, when you watch today's wrestling, I mean, they'll give each other power bombs, pile drivers, you name it. They kick out of it. No matter what it is, they kick out of it. Like Brock Lesnar.
Doesn't mean a thing. That's right.
But when somebody gave, when you gave somebody the Polish hammer, nobody was kicking out of that.
That was the end.
We jumped up in our seats the minute you hit that Polish hammer because we knew it was 1, 2, 3 and it was lights out.
Yeah, people really, you know, I really got over and I really loved people, you know, and they really were behind everybody. Everywhere I went, I sold out. Everywhere. Not one time that I didn't sell out. And Vince McMahon Sr., of course, he made a lot of money, and same hand, on same token, he took care of me too, you know.
Yep.
So was the money that much? Was I'm sure it was a lot better going to New York than it was in San Antonio. But was there more travel in New York, or you know, what was the differences between the two territories?
Oh, there's a lot of difference. You know, it's like you said, the money was, I mean, 10 times more what I was making, because the towns aren't that as big as like Madison Square Garden. That's, what does it hold, 100,000 people?
It probably felt that way when you were wrestling there. It's probably about 19,000-20,000. But then you had Boston Garden. You had the Baltimore Civic Center. What? You had the Philadelphia Spectrum. You had all those places.
And then we went in Philadelphia. One year we went into the stadium. And, you know, we worked a lot of times in big stadiums, you know, for special shows that we had.
Right.
You know, we'd work up a grudge match, you know, and so, you know, we knew the Madison Square Garden wasn't big enough, so we went into Philadelphia Stadium down there where they played pro ball, and boy, I mean, people just came in there.
Well, and Ivan, I've said this in the past, you guys were salesmen. I look at it that way, because if you guys didn't sell tickets to the arena, you guys weren't really getting paid. So it's your job, you know, when you're on the TV to sell tickets.
Exactly.
Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The promoters would tell you, hey, you're going to make as much as you draw. And I tell you, I was so hot when in Texas. Vince McMahon Sr., he called me up, and I said, I'll be through here in a couple of months. And he really wanted me bad. And finally, when I came to New York, boy, he took care of me good. But I was selling out everywhere I went.
Yep.
Well, and then,
everywhere,
you know,
I'd go, I'd sell out.
Speaking of popularity, I'm curious. We've had some people on in the past. Benny mentioned about the selling. Larry Zbyszko was a guest recently, and he told us that, you know, the idea, you don't sell, you don't eat. And he talked about recognizing. I saw you at a convention a few years ago, and you still had the crowd. It was there was some promotional pictures with you and Tito Santana, and you still drew a crowd. You still had fans. I'm wondering, you know, how does it feel? I mean, you got guys who weren't even born when you started your career that have been fans of your work. Like how does that connection? Wrestling is just such a unique bond with the fans. How does that feel to know decades later you're still so revered and loved by the fans?
Well, only one word, feels great. Yeah, those kids would say, yeah, Mr. Putski, I saw you on, my dad has some tapes of you, and, you know, and I said, yeah, well, that's great. A lot of people, you know, that never seen me, that see me on somehow on TV tapes of the old matches that, you know, pro wrestling used to have. But, you know, the nice thing about it, I met so many people, such nice people throughout my wrestling career, and I really enjoyed that.
You always seem like you enjoyed your wrestling. Ivan, now, even when you started with WWF, it looked like you were still doing shots for AWA, because I have here, in a 4-day period, in June 21st, you did. Go ahead. No, I say June 21st, you did Milwaukee. June 22nd, you did Steubenville, Ohio for the WWF. June 23rd, you did Landover, Maryland for the WWF. And then June 24th, which was my 20th birthday, you worked for wrestle in Omaha for the AWA. I mean, that's my note here is, weren't you tired?
Well, tired's not the word. I was beat. But, hey, I looked at it like this. Better make my money while I'm young and while I still have the opportunity.
Right.
So, hey, I pushed myself. And, you know, another thing, I'd get up early so I could work out. I'd go in a gym, push that iron, and then I'd go to the hotel, eat, go to the airport, go to the arena, go to just same routine every day for years and years. I had this same routine.
So you lived a pretty clean lifestyle. That was another question I had later on, though, Ivan, with your bodybuilding. So when you were wrestling, before you really got into bodybuilding, you know, you just mentioned that you went to the gym every morning, you pumped the iron. And then you said about eating. Now, nutritional science, 40 years ago isn't what it was now. But, I mean, there was a science of eating back then. Did you eat clean then, or did you wait till actually you started bodybuilding?
Sure there was. No, I've always ate good protein and a lot of nuts and fruit. Oh, yeah, I was brought up that way.
Did you have a hard time being able to eat healthy when you traveling the way you did?
Yeah, I did. Matter of fact, I sure did. I had to go, I'd ask for, just salads and stuff while I was on the road and eat steaks, good
protein. I would think most of your coworkers probably stopped at like a for a greasy hamburger and fries, and I just don't see you doing that.
Oh, they did, but I didn't. I went to a good restaurant.
Yeah.
And I ate good food. Yeah.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier when you were talking about your workings with the Blanchard family, wrestling is very much a family business, and I'm curious if you don't mind me asking. Your son obviously had quite a career as well. At what point was that kind of his dad is one of the biggest wrestlers in the world, really, that was kind of it for him? Or was that something you pushed him towards? Like, at what point did your son realize, like, I'm going to do this too?
Well, I never push my kids to do anything. It's, they wanted it. So I let Scott get a taste of it and he didn't stay too long. He just didn't have it in him, and he didn't have the appetite that I did. So, I'm not, that's what I was going to tell you, Other fathers would push him, retired wrestlers, they had a son. I saw that and I said, Fritz Von Erich, he would push his kids, make them do. I told Scott, I said, look, you go in and you see if you like it. I'm not going to encourage you. You're going to have to, if you want to wrestle, you got to want it. So he got a taste of it, and I guess didn't agree with him. I said, that's fine. Say, it's fine with me. I'm not disappointed. So, he didn't wrestle, like I did.
The bug didn't bite him like it bit you, it sounds like.
Nah, he just, I had a good gimmick. I was Ivan Putski, the Polish strongman, and, what got my gimmick over, I'd go and people see I did things that you had to be strong to do it.
Right.
And that Polish gimmick got over real good, And I was from Poland. I spoke Polish, and people bought it. See, a lot of these wrestlers with gimmicks, they'll come out there, and that's not even... Yeah. They've never participated in their gimmick, what they're doing. And hey, you can't fool the crowd. You might fool them for a little while, but they're going to catch on. And see, they knew I was the real McCoy, and they bought it. And that's what made me.
It's funny because you mentioned enjoying yourself and the crowd interaction. There was a match going back to it was you and your son Scott against Jerry Lawler and his son Brian Christopher. And it was funny to watch in hindsight, because you and Jerry Lawler are clearly enjoying yourselves a lot more than your kids are. And you two were much more over with the crowd than your sons, even, you know, in an era when you guys were both in the torch passing era of it.
Right,
I just think
exactly.
I think it's crazy to see, like I said earlier, all these years later, you guys, I mean, you know, you have, you're one of the names. You throw it on a poster, and fans are going to buy tickets just for the meet and greet.
Well, yeah, you know, Lawler, he had a good name too, you know, and that was fun. You know, I like things like that. And, you know, Scott, he went to the majored in law enforcement, and he became a detective in San Antonio. And I told him, I said, look, son, you're going to have to pick either that or wrestling. You can't do both. So, you know, he said, I'll just stick to. Yeah, and that was a good idea. It's he'd have never made it like me, because there's only one Ivan Putski, you know. And I had the gimmick and everything, and but you know, I didn't push him; he did it on his own, you know.
I think Ivan, you were just so believable, and that's, you know, I mean, when you see some of these wrestlers now, you know, I'm 65 years old. I speculate. I wonder if I could take this guy. You know, I never thought that with you. I'm thinking, like, you know, if you ever got mad at me, I'm running as fast as I can. And, you know, I mean, back then I could run pretty fast. But so when you look, according to my notes, you really went full time with WWF and you stopped splitting between the two territories around September 1975. And I had, in a four-day period, you went over Baron Cicluna, Waldo Von Erich, and Spears Arion, who were three of the hugest heels in the territory. So you were obviously getting pushed big time. When you got there, did Vince Sr. tell you what his plans were for you? Like, was it, you know, how he was going to book you?
Well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't have left Texas. I was main event everywhere, making big money, and he told me, you know, he said, you're going to make X amount or more, because we're going to use you good, and I'm made that money for Vince, because I sold out all the big arenas up north, Boston Garden, Philadelphia Spectrum, Madison Square Garden. I tell you, everywhere I went, people just packed in there. They'd hold up signs with Ivan Putski, Polish flags everywhere. Oh, it was really something.
And, you know, back, you know, now if somebody buys a ticket to a wrestling match, they buy a ticket to see wrestling, you know, but then if somebody bought a ticket to the Boston Garden or to the Baltimore Civic Center, they were buying a ticket to see Ivan Putski or Bruno.
Yeah,
you know,
they were
emotionally invested in you guys. They loved you guys. Now, I mean, I still watch wrestling, but I can't say, like, I love, you know, any of the new guys, but we loved you back then. And, you know, we were bugging our parents, you know, to buy tickets so we could come see you. And that's something I think that's missing now.
Yeah, and there's, you're not going to see another Ivan Putski or Bruno Sammartino either.
And, I mean, thank God for YouTube, because I watch you guys probably five or six times a week.
You know, I was going to say, you'll get no argument from me on that one. And the thing is, the numbers reflect it. The WWE published the first time they ever published their viewing numbers on the network. And pre 1985 had more views than any other era. People were watching all the old territory tapes, watching the AWA, watching some of the Texas stuff.
See there? So I mean, even that proves it.
Like Benny said, even today, you know, you don't buy tickets for the names, you buy ticket for the event. Back then you bought tickets for the names, and it's something
else.
Sure,
that's what drew the crowd, the name, right.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's because you guys did such a good job selling it, you know, with the interviews on TV and your matches.
Well,
and everything.
Yeah, because people believed us. They believed in me. They believed in Bruno. They believed in Superstar Billy Graham.
Yes, sir.
You know, we had the guns. We had the backed up what we said on TV.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I don't even as a fan of the product today, I don't think anybody on the rosters right now would sell out Houston or San or the San Antonio Dome every week for months on end.
Yeah, and we did. Every week we would sell it out.
Absolutely.
Hey, I was going to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Is superstar Billy Graham, is he still alive?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. He used to call me, you know, and a long time ago, and we'd kind of stay in touch. And last time where he lived there in California, I called and they say he's not there, so I was just wondering.
No, he's in Arizona, I believe.
Arizona, I'm yes, sorry. Sir. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I know he's had some health issues, but as far as I know, he's still alive.
Yeah,
and he still pops up from time to time in interviews. You know, it's you hate to admit it, but you'll see the headline: former WWF superstar says X, Y, and Z that's controversial. You know, before you click that article,
yeah, it's always Billy. They interviewed. Yeah, it's always Billy Graham.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, there's only one Billy Graham.
That's such a good point. There was only one of each of you. You're so unique. I mean, there's only one Ivan Putski. There was only one superstar, only one Bruno, only one Ivan Koloff. But each of you guys,
right,
in your own way, like you were so good and so original. Now we use the term cookie cutters, like in the WWE, the new WWE.
Yeah.
Everybody looks the same. But you guys all have your own look.
That's right. We had our own gimmick.
Yes, sir.
Benny, as we wrap up, we don't want to take more of Ivan's time than we need to. Do you have a final question for the legend of?
Yes, sir. So, I mean, we don't know how good these statistics are, but even if they're 80% accurate, I think you faced Billy Graham 112 times. You faced Ivan Koloff over 100 times. I mean, and you have winning records against all these people. Did you have a favorite guy you like to work with?
Superstar Billy Graham.
All right. Was it because you were both strong men?
Yeah, and he was a good guy. Hey, he was such a. I just liked. His real name was Wayne Coleman.
Yes, sir.
And I liked old Wayne from first time I met him.
There's a lot of talk, Ivan, that and I didn't mean to interrupt you, I apologize, but when he was the champion, and you had many matches against him when he was the champion, and he was starting to get over with the crowd, and there was a lot of, I mean, now, even now, there's a lot of talk that they should have actually turned him babyface and kept the championship on him, because he was, I mean, you guys were selling out everywhere. And I think, say they turned him babyface and had him feud with an Ivan Koloff, that could have sold out for like a year just by itself.
Oh, you better believe it. Well, that just shows you that the promotion isn't as hot as they think they are.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And then let me ask you something. You talked territory. Do you remember, obviously you said Billy Graham is your favorite opponent. Do you have a favorite match in your career?
Let me see. Favorite match. You know, I had so many, many great favorite matches that I can't really point out one. You know, I had a lot of great matches with Wayne, Superstar. I had Ivan Koloff and a lot of the other guys, you know, that I really can't just put a finger on one match.
You had a huge feud with Jesse Ventura. Did you guys really like each other? I really got the idea that you guys didn't like each other. Was that just, you know, was that true?
No. We took care of each other. You know, that I'm glad you said that because that means people were buying us.
Absolutely, 100%.
Absolutely.
We were believable, see?
I really thought you guys couldn't stand each other for years and years. So, yes, you did a great job.
It was still real to me, damn it.
Just goes to show you, you know?
Absolutely. I want to say, Ivan, it has been a true honor talking to you. You are, without question, one of the greats. I know you probably hear that all the time. But, I mean, I don't think wrestling would be where it is today without your shoulders and others that you wrestled with at the time, especially my wife from San Antonio. So everyone in her family that is a wrestling fan, it idolized you and your run there. So I just want to say it has been a true honor talking to you. Benny, do you have any final words?
Yeah. Well, Ivan, I do have a request, and I absolutely, totally, I have enjoyed this so much, and I want to thank you for that. And I know you said you couldn't really sing because of your sore throat, but I just wonder if maybe you can give a shout-out to my other half, Maureen, and just tell her hello from Ivan Putski.
Moja droga, ja ti kocham. That means I love you so. Kocham ciebie z całym sercem. More than you ever know. How's that?
That was awesome.
Perfect. Thank you so much. You just made my
what a wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Ivan. We will definitely hope to have you back on. I know we didn't even scratch the surface of the countless stories you could tell us from your time on the road.
Well, I thank you guys for putting me over. If it wasn't for the publicity and interviews and things like that, there wouldn't be an Ivan Putski. So thank you.
Thank God there wasn't. There is an Ivan Putski.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you. Well, You have yourself a good night, sir.
Okay, you guys too. God bless you.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it, the legendary Polish hammer himself, Ivan Putski. Benny, I know you put this together. What a guy. What do you think?
I feel like I just had a steak at Manny's Steakhouse and the best steak. And then they said it's on the house. I mean, that's how good this interview was. That's how much I enjoyed.
The fans can't see the camera the way I can, but I can tell you, Benny, I could see you fangirling when he started carooning. So
Maybe there won't be any more dating jokes now. Maybe that cinched it for me.
Well, I mean, you just got a legendary, absolutely awesome. And I know your better half's gonna love it. It's crazy because we talk about it so many times with the current product and the old product, how, you know, there's always just seems to be a little something missing, and it's that larger than life persona. And you know, I there was a series of interviews recently where they kind of touched on, a more modern name, but when Stone Cold Steve Austin was the WWE poster child, WWF at the time poster child, that Vince McMahon would never build up another larger-than-life superstar because of the power that Steve Austin had over the company. That's it. No one is ever going to be bigger than the company again. So you'll never see a Ivan Putski, a Billy Graham, a Bruno ever again, at least not in the WWE. Perhaps in some of the other affiliations, but I mean, you have just an incredible talent. And like you said, it's believable. And it's not just the charisma and the gimmick. It's the look. I mean, when he hit the hammer, I truly believed that guy was down. It looked like it hurt. It looked like he could kick my ass. You know, he had the look. I mean, him and Billy Graham, it was just a hoss fight. Two big dudes just beating the living shit out of each other.
When they locked up, I mean, it was like two Hercules locking up. It was incredible.
Exactly. You know, it's crazy. Transition a bit as we wrap up the show, I want to touch on two big news stories that came out in the wrestling world. The first is perhaps the surprise that no one really saw coming, and that's Paul White, the Big Show, signed with AEW. He has a role. He's going to be a commentator on their new Monday night program, which will be a dark, I don't know how much of AEW you're familiar with, but it's going to be a, a secondary program on Monday nights. They signed Paul White, the Big Show, the Giant, as a commentator. However, they also said he's cleared to wrestle. He's cleared to compete. So who knows? Maybe we might finally get that Big Show Shaq match they've been teasing for the last 15 years.
You know, I think as a commentator, I think he'll be phenomenal. He's a really funny guy, very entertaining. I just hope if they let him wrestle, they, you know, give him a little something, because he really, he hasn't really had much of anything in years.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's apparently some of the dirt sheets are coming out that one of the reasons he agreed to leave was he felt he was not treated well during their Legends show, which I kind of agree with. I don't think any of the Legends really looked good on the last Legends show, which, again, is a word that gets thrown around a little bit. But yeah, he definitely, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, who knows if they end up pushing him just a little bit, he could be the first and only person to have held the WWE, WCW, ECW and TNA, or excuse me, AEW title.
I think he should, they should do that just for that alone.
Just for that accolade alone.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You've got Sting in one of their primary feuds right now, one of their primary stories. So they're not above using, and Chris Jericho in the other. They're not above using older talent as long as they can still go and do what they need to do.
White's probably what, his mid to late 40s?
I think, yeah, I would say late 40s, probably.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, Sting just took a bump, and he's what, 62, I think?
Right.
So, I mean, Paul White's a relative youngster compared to these guys.
Actually, let me look that up while we're talking.
I'm going to say 1973 or 74 is my guess.
You were close. 72. Okay. He's 49.
Oh, okay. So, wow. All
Paul right. White's 49, and Sting is, you said 62. Sting's 61.
Okay. Close enough.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Unfortunately, in sad news, the other story that came out of the wrestling world today is Joseph Hudson, who wrestled under the name The Question Mark, passed away pretty suddenly. And he was a big name in NWA. Anybody who followed some of the indie promotions, unfortunately, some of the mainstream might not know him too well, but he's definitely NWA, a real talent, wrestled, like I said, under a mask. Aaron Stevens, who WWE fans would know as Damian Sandow, kind of broke the story to on his end of social media. So our thoughts go out to his family. He was a good talent. That one of those guys you just hoped would make it, and it was good to see him do his thing. And so Joseph Hudson, like I said, thoughts of the show out with him and his, or out to him, he and his family.
I saw that and I was shocked. I was brokenhearted, and I really, it was so sad, because I saw Damian Sandow's I think Twitter, his tweet, and they were very entertaining. I mean, when I saw Sandow Aaron Stevens and Question Mark, I would think of Miz, and when he was Damian Mizdow.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that was one of my favorite things ever. When he played Damian Mizdow, and he'd be on the outside of the ring taking all the bumps outside that Miz was taking on the inside. That was, I mean, when you really look at it, it was so well choreographed. But yeah, I mean, he was before they folded, they were really getting over, you know, the Question Mark and Aaron Stevens.
They really were, and they were one of the gimmicks that a lot of people pointed to at when rumbles of NWA power coming back. You want to see more of that. But yeah, that's a damn shame.
It really is.
And the thing is too, it worked really well. Much like you said, the chemistry between Billy Graham and Ivan Putski, the chemistry between Hudson and Aaron Stevens worked really well, because they were genuinely close, and it wasn't just a cut. Like, you know, how many times do you see tag teams or a wrestler and a manager, and it's blatantly obvious they're thrown together, or there's no actual
no chemistry.
Yeah. There. These guys were close, and like you said, it's just reading Aaron Stevens, reading his Instagram post on it, just breaks your heart, because it wasn't just a coworker and a talent, but he's a true friend and mentor. So like I said, it's sad to talk, but a couple stories and we'll see where they go, because obviously they don't have the platform the way that AEW did for a tribute show. So I'd be curious to see what, if anything, NWA can do for him going forward.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have, it was a hell of a show. Heck of a show, I should say. Try to keep it family friendly. Ivan Putski, one of the greats. Benny, you had a shout out you wanted to give to one of our new sponsors coming up.
Yes, sir. Rod and the boys at Tiger Towing and Auto Sales, and their motto is, when we hook up, we pull out. So if you're in the greater Iowa area and you need a tow, 319-759-5757. And your rear end is safe in their hands.
That part was mine. That was the shirt you were wearing last week, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. I got it on again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, So it's great to see. Obviously, as we move on and up with our own program, we're going to do a lot of shout outs to some of the smaller companies, especially now in the COVID era. The local small companies are really where we need to send the love. So
absolutely
great. We appreciate their support. It's good to have friends in every place. And especially if there's somebody who's needed my car more than once in my life, it's always good to have a friend with a tow truck. Oh, yeah.
Dr. Hook.
But now, as we wrap up today, Benny, you have any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm like giddy. I feel like I went on a date and I was in high school. You know, I just to talk to that man. And he's so upbeat. And I mean, we didn't even get into the fact that he just turned 80 years old.
Yeah.
And he's sharp as a tack. He remembers everything. And I bet he could probably still put me to shame in a bench press. I think I heard him about a year ago in an interview. And at that point, he was still working out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like he was in great shape.
I was just about to say, I saw an interview with him that was recorded in 2020. I think it was this summer of 2020. And yeah, he still looked great. He did the pose at the end and still had muscles that would put me to shame.
Right.
Which is funny because we've had guests on the show in the past that have talked, but obviously before we start recording, I'm sorry, I called in a few minutes late. I was outside doing yard work. I was clearing a tree, like 80 years old.
Yeah, Dominic Canucci. He's going to be 90 next year. And he's
90 years old, still putting up his own fence posts. And you got guys half their age in the business today that couldn't do it, and they're active.
I mean, look at Goldberg. He was gassed by his entrance music.
His entrance, right?
Yeah, he was blown up.
Oh man, if you take you go back and grab some of these guys from the territories and throw them in the ring today, they would physically break in half some of the talent that wrestles today. And that's not a knock on the talent today. I mean, they do stuff I couldn't do, but it is noticeably the physical, as they've evolved, the products evolve more to the flippy, high flying stuff. You've lost a lot of your larger than life giants. And I talked about it before on the show, and we've mentioned his involvement, where you look at NXT. You know, Aleister Black was kind of the second coming of The Undertaker, and he's 5'11". I mean, here's this guy that's kicking people's heads off. Wait a minute, he's not even six feet tall. At least in the case of like Ivan Putski, he was built like a tank.
Right.
It worked him, the Franco Colombo body type. It worked.
Yeah, cigarette machine with arms.
How did the old saying go? Like getting tackled by a Coke machine with legs.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's too funny. No, this is great. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to him. We'll definitely have to have him back.
I barely scratched the surface.
Absolutely. I know you said something like you had 20 or 30 questions and
yeah,
you only got a couple.
I got about 8 of them so far. And I was thinking of other ones as we were talking.
Absolutely. But we've got a lot of good stuff coming up here in the next few weeks. Dan and Benny in the Ring continues to grow. I was telling Benny off the air, but we continue to expand. We have the site on Podbean, Dan and Benny. We have the Facebook page, groups page, Dan and Benny in the Ring. And we just continue to grow. We've got our submissions in for more networks. So expect to see us soon on Google and Stitcher and Spotify, among others. We are on Spotify and among others. So we're going to keep growing, keep doing our thing, keep having fun with it. That's the key. It's all about having fun. So
fun and making people laugh.
Absolutely. For the BS Express, I'm Dan Sebastiano. Have a good night, everyone. And as always, happy wrestling, everybody.
Good night.